Hare Krishna.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is because of my supremacy that the wind blows out of fear of me, the sun shines out of fear of me, and the Lord of the clouds, Indra, sends forth showers out of fear of me. Fire burns out of fear of me, and death goes about taking its toll out of fear of me. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the natural laws being enacted are correct in all activities because of His supraordinance. No one should think that nature is working automatically without supraordinance. The Vedic literature says that the clouds are controlled by the demigod Indra, heat is distributed by the sun god, the soothing moonlight is distributed by Chandra, and the air is blowing under the arrangement of the demigod Vayu. But above all these demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the chief living entity. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. The demigods are also ordinary living entities, but due to their faithfulness, their devotional service attitude, they have been promoted to such posts. These different demigods or directors such as Chandra, Varuna and Vayu are called Adhikari Devata. The demigods are departmental heads. The government of the Supreme Lord consists not only of one planet or two or three. There are millions of planets and millions of universes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has a huge government and He requires assistance. The demigods are considered His bodily limbs. These are the descriptions of Vedic literature. Under these circumstances, the sun god, the moon god, the fire god and the air god are working under the direction of the Supreme Lord. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyatesa Characharam. The natural laws are being conducted under His superintendence. Because He is in the background, everything is being performed punctually and regularly. One who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely protected from all other influences. He no longer serves or is obliged to anyone else. Of course, he is not disobedient to anyone, but his full power of thought is absorbed in the service of the Lord. The statements by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Kapila that under His direction the air is blowing, the fire is burning and the sun is giving heat are not sentimental. The impersonalist may say that the Bhagavatam devotees create and imagine someone as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and assign qualifications to Him. But actually it is neither imagination nor an imposition of artificial power in the name of Godhead. In the Vedas it is said, Bhishashmad Vata Pavate Bhishodeti Surya. By fear of the Supreme Lord, the wind god and the sun god are acting. Bhishashmad Agnis Chendrascha Mrityur Dhavati Panchamaha. Agni, Indra and Mrityu are also acting under His direction. These are the statements of the Vedas.
We are reading from the chapter, Glories of Devotional Service. The Supreme Lord is saying here that out of fear for Him, all these natural phenomena are taking place, you know, like the rising of the sun and the rising of the moon, and the fire burning, and the wind blowing, and the death taking its toll. In Sanskrit, there is a word called satta. Satta means the very existence of any object is a proof that there is somebody who has put the object there. Just like if in a room you find some vegetables or you find some table, chair or laptop, something kept, you know that there is somebody living in that room. Prabhupada gives an example. When you are passing through a road, sometimes you see into the compound wall of a house. If no one is living in the house will be unattended. There will be a thick growth of grass, and you can see the house unclean also, not well kept, not maintained. On the other hand, if somebody is living in the house, it's very easy to see. Like when I was walking in London, we used to see every house used to have a lawn, one side. I think it's a compulsory thing. Every house, nobody can build any number of floors they want. It's all controlled by the government. You can have only 1+1. And then you need to have a lawn in the front of your house, and the dustbin on the other side where they put everything and send it to the this thing. So every house would look the same, if you see. So, and you can see that when a house is well kept, you will also see it will be clean, it will also have some light going on inside, and you can easily see the symptoms that somebody is living there. Similarly, Prabhupada says about the world in which we are living, is it unattended world or is it attended world? He is asking this question. Is it attended by somebody? Just like you go and stay in a guest house, somebody comes and supplies you some drinking water, somebody comes to clean up the room, somebody provides you some towel and everything and bedding and everything. They make your stay comfortable, is it not? So you know that there is somebody appointed to take care of you. It's not that you are put in a house and there is nobody to look after you. Similarly, is this world a well-attended place or a place where no one is cared for? What do you think? Well-attended place. So we can observe that there's a lighting put up in the form of sun and moon, so that we won't have to live in darkness. There is warmth of the sun for us to, for all the living entities to subsist and survive. There is also food arranged, facility, and special clothing is arranged for certain creatures who have to live in very cold regions. They have natural sweater. They don't have to buy a sweater like us. They have a natural sweater given in the body itself. Just like they have to live in extreme cold regions of Arctic, Antarctic, and all. That's not the only thing. Even other creatures, wherever they have to live, every creature you will find is given an opportunity to protect itself, they will say. Like some creatures can change the color of their skin. Some creatures can, die, can lie down as if they are dead. So many amazing arrangements are made. The changing of the seasons, the shower of the rainfall, the sunlight and moonlight and the wind and everything arranged. So, by observing the world around us, we can see that it is a well-furnished place for living. When you go to anybody's place, people ask you, so what's your program in our city, isn't it? When you go to any new city. So, they naturally you say that I have come here for so many days, I have to visit so and so people, and after 3 or 4 days, then on such and such a day, I am taking a flight and going back. You make a plan or a program. Similarly, Prabhupada writes, the program for the living entity in the material world is, he has to purify his heart and go back to God. That is his program. No other program here. That is his only program. But people have forgotten the program for which they have come. And they want to permanently stay here, because of which they suffer more and more. But one fulfills the program for which Lord has created this world, even this world won't be such a place of suffering. Because, like you see, as the age goes, you will see that the body grows from childhood to boyhood to youth. The body is in ascending mode, peak. It goes to the peak. Our strength also gets better and better. And then, after the adolescence, gradually the body starts, decaying, dwindling, as one gets older, then the body falls off. You will see that. So if somebody is crossing 30 or 40 years, somebody tells them that you appear very young, they feel very thankful and satisfied. Why? Because people like to be seen as young, isn't it? On the other hand, if you ask a child, a small boy, how old are you? He will be 8 years old, but he will say, I am 10. Because he doesn't want to show that I am a kid. I am not a kid, I am also grown up. From this, you can understand that everybody wants to be youthful. Everybody wants to be youthful. You don't want to be a kid, you don't want to be old also. We want to be youthful. But the Lord doesn't have to worry about being youthful, because he is always youthful only. Adyam Purana Purusham Navayavanam Cha So he is always Navayavanam, he is ever youthful. But in this world, no one can be ever youthful. Why? Because this world is not supposed to be a place of permanent living. That is why the old age is kept. As the old age comes, it's a warning to the living entity here that actually the body is falling apart, it's getting old. I have to prepare to go back to Godhead. So, in this way, one makes this program fulfilled. So, Satta means the very existence of the creation, the material world which we can observe is a proof for the presence of the Supreme Lord. That He is present and He is watching and witnessing and making these things happen. And then comes Sthiti. Sthiti means maintenance of the things in this world, which is also done by Him. First is existence, then there is maintenance. Then there is Srishti and Pralaya also. There is a creation and there is annihilation, there is subsequent creation, subsequent annihilation. Like when we are taking birth, it's called Srishti also. When our body dies, it's also called Pralaya. Pralaya for the body. Isn't it? Just like that Paranjan, he saw that his body was invaded by Mananajwara. And then the old age invaded his body. So that is also a kind of pralaya. And there is another pralaya which happens at the end of Kali Yuga and which happens at the end of Brahma's day. And another one which happens at the end of Brahma's life also. That pralaya is pralaya for Brahma's body also. So in this way, there is Srishti and pralaya in this world. Who is the person who is never created and who is never annihilated, for whom there is no Srishti or no Pralaya, one who is beyond, that is Ishwar. All the other 33 crore devatas, they all have Srishti and Pralaya for their bodies also. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartin Orjana, they come again and again. But the Ishwara is the supremely independent one Godhead, one for whom there is no equal or there is no superior. And on His order, everyone else is operating and cooperating with His vision, with His plan. Like you see, He says, that Varshati Indraha. Indra showers water on His order. Once when Rishabhadev was born, Indra suddenly felt that now the whole world, they have forgotten My supremacy and their attention is on this newly born child, Rishabhadev, born to Meru Devi and Nabi by the Lord Vishnu's blessings. Because they had pleaded to Lord Vishnu that we want to have a child like you. Then the Lord appeared as Rishabhadev. So when Lord appeared as Rishabhadev, Indra created a kind of artificial famine for no good reason. He created dryness and famine and scarcity everywhere. Actually, he was thinking that if I do this, then people will pray to me and then I can bless them with prosperity. So he wanted people to pray to him, but you know what Lord Rishabhadev did? He just looked at the sky and waved his hand and immediately there was a heavy shower of rain. You see? What does this show? That ultimately everything is in Lord's control only. Indra is only a nimitta. He is only a instrument. Actually, whether he is there or not, rains can be brought by the Lord. But the Lord has given him an opportunity for seva, service. You see, and that realization Indra got. Another time Indra, in a similar manner, became upset with Vijayabhasis and it was heavily thundering and lightning and showering such heavy rains. The Lord could completely keep him in bay by lifting the Govardhan hill. So much so that not a drop of water touched the Vijayabhasis, you see. So Lord can stop the rain and Lord can bring the rain. It is in whose control? Lord's control. Similarly, He is saying that the fire is taking its soul. Whether a child touches fire, the fire burns a child also. Or a old man touches fire, wise person. So in this world, somebody may say, oh, it's natural for fire to burn anybody. Where is the order of the Lord? No, there is order of the Lord. Because there was one lady called Holika, who had the power to remain alive even within fire. So Hiranyakashipu, she was Hiranyakashipu's sister. So Hiranyakashipu said, I have tried all possible means to kill this fellow, the small boy. I couldn't kill him. Now, only one last resort. You keep him on your lap and go inside the fire. So let the fire burn him to ashes. Because you have a special benediction. So this Holika entered the fire, keeping Prahlad on her lap sitting. And what happened? The fire burnt her into ashes. And Prahlad walked out alive. Just see. So, although she had got a benediction that she will not be burned by fire, still her body got burned because she was making a wrong attempt of killing a Mahabhagavat devotee. And Prahlad remained alive. Which goes to show, on the order of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, the fire refused to burn Prahlad. On the contrary, on the order of Lord Vishnu, the fire burned Holika against the boon and benediction that she had achieved. You see? So we can understand on whose order fire is working. Is it not true? No? So in this way, each of this can be seen. He's saying, Mrityus Charati Madhubayat. Everybody in this world is subjected to death. Nobody is an exception. But the Supreme Lord ascended to his abode. It is said, Krishna Swadhama Upagate. There is another verse also in the 11th canto which says, Adagdva Dham. Adagdva, he says, Adagdva means, generally the mystic yogis, they create, they ignite a fire inside their belly, like that, and they burn the whole body. They have the six chakras, you know, from another point they awaken a fire, such a fire that it burns the whole body, what Dhritarashtra did, to burn himself, and then the whole cottage was burning. But Krishna was also the master of mystics. If he wanted to burn his body, he could have done that. But specifically, 11th canto Bhagavatam says, he did not ignite his body like the great yogis do. Rather, he ascended to his abode. Swadhama. The word is used that he ascended to his own abode. Avishat. He entered his own abode. Like that it is said. So the Supreme Lord enters his abode without being burned. Not only that, the death takes the toll of everybody. But if Krishna wishes that somebody should not die, nobody can stop his death. Krishna wishes that Arjuna should not die. So he could postpone the death of Arjuna from the Jayadratha's pastime where he blocked the sun. Or Krishna bringing the son of Sandipani Muni from the even the Yamaloka, Samyamani. There is no history of anybody going to Yamaloka to bring someone back. Only Krishna could do that. Even a dead child can be brought back, isn't it? So that Sandipani Muni and his wife, who was Guru Mata for Krishna and Sudama, they both had a discussion. What can be asked from Krishna and Balaram, who are supreme lords themselves? Because they are such powerful personalities, that you can't ask them for some few gold coins. We should ask them something which nobody else can do. And that's why they asked, we want our son back. And the son was brought from where? From Yamaloka. You see? In this way, all these things are in Lord's control. In fact, what to speak of all these things being in Lord's control? All these things are happening only because of him. He himself says that. Nama visya cha bhutani dharayamyahamojasa. Pushnami chaushadhi sarva somo bhutva yat rasatmakah yat aditya gatam tejo jagad bhasayate khilam yat chandramasi yat chagrau tat tejo vidyamakam. See, yat chandramasi yat chagrau tat tejo, that tejo mamakam, he says, it comes from me. The light of the sun comes from me, heat of the sun comes from me. The light of the moon comes from me. In fact, the sun and moon are the vision of the Lord, eyes of the Lord. So they all are emanating from me. He's saying that. So when you see the light of the sun, when you're walking on the road, the light of the sun falls on you, you can feel Krishna is touching me. Similarly, in the night when you are walking, the moonlight falls on you, you can see that how cooling Krishna is. How wonderful Krishna is. So in this way, Krishna is giving us a practical example how we can experience His presence in our life by seeing the nature around us. So with His eyes, with both His eyes, He is nourishing all the material bodies of all the living entities in the material world. Because those two are also material eyes of the material form of the Lord. What is the material form of the Lord? Virat Purusha. Virat Purusha, yeah. So, the material bodies of the living entities are sustained by the material form of the Supreme, which is actually real but temporary. But beyond this Virat form is the Shyam Sundar form, very beautiful form of the Supreme Lord, who has also eyes, which nourish the spiritual bodies of the devotees. Isn't it? The Supreme Lord's eyes, they nourish the spiritual bodies of the devotees, just like the cow nourishes the calf simply by watching and feeding milk and by licking the body of the calf. This is the meaning of Bhakta Vatsala. Bhakta Vatsala means the cow nourishes the calf by the milk and the cow licks the body of the calf and removes all the impurities on the body of the calf. Similarly, Krishna says that I nourish my devotees. There is one of the 10 items of the Bhagavatam is called Poshanam. Poshanam is actually the nourishment Lord provides to His devotees. And also the Lord cleans us of the impurities in the hearts of the devotees by the principle of Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami. Like that He does. So, in this way, the Lord is actually the supplier of all these items which are mentioned here. Nobody can do anything. See, Mutyushcharati Madhubayat, it is said, Rake Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna Rake. Yamaraj also has to take permission from the Lord. Can I kill this fellow? Yeah, because Yamaraj and Yamadutas were about to take away 1% to the hell and Vishnu servant stopped them. Is it not true? What does that show? If Lord Vishnu decides that somebody should not die, then they cannot be killed by anybody, including Yamaraj and Yamadutas also. You see? Yeah, because ultimately the death is decided by the Lord only. Like in a country, we have the president of the country who can give amnesty to a man meant to be hanged. Isn't it? You can write a letter to the president of the country, say that, please don't hang me. You know, these are the good things I have done for your country, whatever. And the president before, sometimes, generally he may not, but he can. He has the right. He can ask the government to release somebody. So Prabhupada says, we don't put petition to any of the demigods who are all, you know, different constables inside the jail. Because those constables cannot do anything. The constables are compared to demigods. And the jailkeeper is the madam who is Durga Devi, who is the chief sub-inspector or whatever, the police, who is in the jail. None of them can release us. But a person in the jail can write a letter to President of India. Then he gains release, like that. So that's why we directly surrender to Krishna, surpassing all the lower chotamota dharmas. You know, Sri Dharma, Purush Dharma, Parivar Dharma, Samaj Dharma, Deha Dharma, so many different dharmas. And then finally we surrender to Krishna, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam. Isn't it? So, in this way, all these are in Krishna. This is the very first thing to understand, that everything is coming from Krishna, all these things. And everything is in control of Krishna. But Krishna has appointed all these devatas as administrators with the desire to give them an opportunity to do seva and be happy. Because the living entity, bereft of service of the Lord, becomes unhappy. So he wants to give them some opportunity for seva. Do the service and be pleased. So in their own positions, the demigods may be doing their services, but occasionally they may become forgetful who they are and what is the relationship with the Supreme Lord and how they are being supported and guided and sheltered by the Supreme Lord. When they forget, then the Lord comes to perform many leelas, pastimes. again to revive them to the proper consciousness. So, in the Shastras, this is one very first principle repeatedly emphasized, that a spiritual aspirant should understand the Lord's position as supreme, asamaurdhva. There is no one equal to him, there is no one superior to him. He is the unparalleled supreme, one who is also fully knowledgeable and one who is fully independent. When we talk about the Supreme Lord, we talk about his supremacy. When we talk about the Super Soul, we talk about his witness and his all-knowing nature. But at the same time, even before we talk about his witness and all-pervading nature, the emphasis is given more on understanding how he is supreme and the source of everything. All the universes have emanated from him, and they are maintained by him, and they are destroyed by him, and he doesn't have to take anybody's permission to do anything. He is not at the beck and call of anyone. He doesn't have to fear anyone. He doesn't need any favor from anyone. He is supremely independent. Why these things are so much emphasized? We can understand why. You see, the Shastra say, before you give your head to somebody, think about who that person is. What is his capacity to offer you benedictions to fulfill your desires? Like somebody can offer you 5,000 rupees package, somebody can offer you 50,000 rupees package monthly, somebody can offer you 2 lakh rupees package. Different companies give you different packages. But many people, whenever they give you any package, they also have a very big expectation in return. Fat salary means fat job also. Is it not true? There is a very great demand also. So, somebody can provide you money, but they cannot provide you protection. Some companies offer a big salary pack, but you have to work in the offshore oil drilling place where many people die in those projects in the ocean, falling from the top of the projects. Sometimes they get so sickly because of the pollution. Every 15 days they are given a break for 15 days. They give you money for your pocket, but they can't protect your health. But nobody can assure you in this world that they can provide you enough to satisfy our desires, because we have unlimited desires in this world. So beyond the ordinary, so the Prabhupada writes in his Bhagavad Gita purport, some people say we don't worship demigods, but they are kowtowing some politicians, he writes. So there are many people who hang around politicians hoping that they will get some money from them. They will get some post position and some money if they simply hang around some MLAs and MPs. Some people do that. So they are also counted as demigod worshippers, Prabhupada says. Because the MLAs and MPs are also like chota demigods, minute, extremely minute. Everybody following somebody in this world. But then you go beyond the human leaders, then you go to the demigods. The demigods also have specific capability to fulfill certain type of desires only. Somebody can give you, Surya can give you good health, Saraswati can give good education, like that. Every one of them has a jurisdiction within which they can offer benedictions. So they can't fulfill any desire of yours. So the demigod worshippers are counted as unchaste because they go to different demigods for different requirements. So they are mostly I-centered people. I, me, mine. Because just like Shurpanaka, she went to Ram. When Ram said, I am already married, I have Sita with me, then she said, never mind, I'll go to Lakshman now. She went to Lakshman. And Lakshman also gives. He said, I am married, but my wife has not come with me. She's already at home. I am not interested in you. Okay, I'll go back to Ram again. So the demigod worshippers also do like this. They jump back and forth from one demigod to another. Whomever can, you know, pamper my senses, they are ready to accept. They don't care who the demigod is. They simply want to make sure that they fulfill our demands. But the Lord's devotees are called Ananya Bhaktas. And why the Lord is worthy of taking shelter? Because there is nothing that he cannot provide. There is nothing he will say that, sorry, that is still something beyond me. No. You tell, name him a thing and he can provide you. Like you want material desires, he can provide you. You want heavenly planets, he can provide you. You want siddhis, he can provide you. You want, somebody, one boy was asking, you say that, you know, ultimately God can take me back to Godhead. Why is he forcing me to come to spiritual world and surrender? On the other hand, if I say I don't want to come to spiritual world, then he puts me in the material world and makes me suffer. So is there no place where I can be on my own and still not suffer? Why can't he create a place where I can be on my own without surrendering to him? So the Lord has created Brahma Jyoti for those people. Which is neither spiritual world nor material world, where you have relief from the birth and death and you don't still don't have to reciprocate with the Lord. So, in this way, the Lord is so kind, for everybody according to the desires he can provide, whatever they desire. And then, when one goes to spiritual world, one completely gets rid of all material desires altogether. And then one has multiple spiritual desires. And the Lord gives attention to each and every living being as if he is available only for them, exclusively for them. Just like the queens of Dwaraka felt, Krishna is only in my palace. Some of the queens were giggling, laughing to themselves, thinking that Krishna is henpecked husband because he's attached to me only. He's living in my palace. And that's what every queen thought. And he was there in every one of the palaces, you see. This kind of you know, attention and love and vicinity Krishna is able to provide them, each of them. In this way, you will see throughout the Shastras, all the demigods running to the feet of Vishnu, whenever they are in fear of demons or they are in need of anything. Because he is the provider, he is the maintainer of everybody, he is the source of everybody. So, Shastra say that before you surrender, check the capacity of a person. What desires can he provide? And are they imperishable commodities that he provides, or he can provide, he provides perishable commodities of this world, or he can provide something imperishable, amritatva. Krishna can provide amritatva. He can provide the eternal life full of bliss and knowledge for all time. That he can provide also. That kind of Swarupa Mukti only he can give. Similarly, the Shastra says, look for a person who has no equal, who has no superior, who is totally independent, who is not bound by any laws, who is the maker of all the laws for all living beings. And once you come across such a person, then catch hold of his feet, never leave him. You take his shelter, and he is the Supreme Lord. That is why the Shastras evaluate everybody who has what power. Just like our Rama Devi was evaluating all the personalities like Indra, like Shiva, like Shukracharya. Every one of them, she was telling their deficiencies and their strengths. Shiva is famous for his austerities, penances, but he's always living in Smashan Ghat and he is always a bhikari, fakir. So she didn't marry him. Then she said, Indra is very handsome, and he has a lot of powers. He is the chief of the demigods. Only he is a darpog. You know, he runs away when demons come. What is the use of his handsomeness? If he himself is running away, how will he protect me? So, like that, she was considering all Shukracharya. Oh, very intelligent. He can even revive somebody from the dead. Only thing is, he is corrupt. She gives wrong advice. Like that, she was telling about every one of them. Oh, this Parashuram is so mighty, so powerful. You know, he waves the axe at the speed of mind. When he's little tired, he waves it at the speed of wind. Like that, she said. So, very greatly powerful. Only he is not merciful. Like that, she was considering everybody. Everybody had some weakness. At last, she was looking at everybody. So one amazing thing with the demigods, when they saw Rama or when they saw Mohini Murthy, they never felt lusty for her. They only saw her like a mother. That's one amazing thing. Whereas the demons, when they looked at the Mohini Murthy, they wanted to enjoy her. So it's very amazing. This is also explained. Of course, Rama Devi was searching for a proper husband. At last she saw Narayana and she said, this personality has all beauty, he has all knowledge, he has all strength, he is all famous, he is wonderful, and I cannot find any fault in him. He is spotlessly pure. So she married Narayana by offering garland to Lord Narayana. But then she said, the only problem with Narayana, what is the only defect in him? He is renounced also. He is renounced. Although I am after him, he is not after me, she said. So in this way, the Supreme Lord was approached by Rama, who is one form of Lakshmi. Similarly, in this world, any young unmarried girl in her marriageable age is very disturbed, especially if her age is going beyond 22, 23, 24, 25. Parents are in anxiety and she is in greater anxiety also. Similarly, all the living entities are also Prakriti. So they are also in tension like unmarried girl only. Because Narinam Bhushanam Pati. So what is Bhushanam for a Nari? Yeah, greatly spiritually advanced husband. Similarly, Sarvari Bhushanam Chandro. What is beauty of the sky? Not just crescent moon, full moon. Similarly, Prithvi Bhushanam Raja, what is decoration for the earth? Not just any Raja, what Raja? Rajarishi Raja. Like that. Vidya Sarvasya Bhushanam. Similarly, for everybody, what is the decoration? Not any Jadavidya education, but spiritual education, Rajavidya. Then one becomes very attractive. Similarly, just as a woman has a husband, she becomes peaceful and happy and satisfied having attained his shelter and protection. Similarly, the jiva also, having found his master, he becomes sanat. He gets the master. So he becomes cheerful and happy. Prabhupada says the main cause of suffering in this world is one doesn't have a master. Like you will find in the Mahabharata, the Gandharvas are telling Arjuna. Arjuna was telling Gandharvas, stop the battle. Don't take away the wives of the Kauravas. So the Gandharvas were telling Arjuna, Arjuna, we don't care for anybody's instruction. Because we have a master whom we follow. And by following his instructions, we live free from misery. This is there in Mahabharata. So when one has a capable master who gives instruction, one who follows instruction, then there is no misery for a person. Just like a child sleeping on the shoulder of a mother peacefully, the mother can go to marketplace or board a train, get down from the train, climb up the staircase, climb down the staircase. The child has nothing to worry because the child is sheltered in the mother's shoulder. Similarly, when one gets the capable master, then one's mind is peacefully situated. So Shastras say that you have to find out such a master in your life, the Supreme Lord. That's why the Shastric pages are filled with descriptions of the Lord's supremacy. The purpose of giving this description is to help us understand how such a wonderful master is available for us to take shelter. And having taken a shelter, we can live a life free from all misery. There is no more anxiety. Because the jiva, Prabhupada once was sitting in a chair, he said, Prabhupada said, either you relax. So Prabhupada is saying that you have to lean on one side, jiva. You cannot be in between. It's tatastha. Either you lean on the Mahamaya side or you lean on Yogamaya side. You cannot be in between always. It's not possible. You will see that as soon as a devotee doesn't have enough devotional engagements, Maya is there. Sir, I am here to capture you. Come here. Immediately. Japati adare. She will capture immediately. That is why a devotee should never have a time where one has no engagements, which is actually called a spaced out time. There should be no time to space out for a devotee. Because if a devotee is engaged in service, then Maya doesn't have any engagement to give a devotee. Because the devotee is too busy. He has no time. That's what Haridas Thakur did. Isn't it? When Maya Devi came and told Haridas Thakur, I can give you some engagement. What did Haridas Thakur say? Sorry, no time. I'm busy. So, in this way, everyone requires shelter. But The shelter can be taken only when you are convinced about the glory of the master. So in order to explain the glory of the master, these verses are explained in the scriptures. How glorious is this master? There is nothing that he cannot provide. There is no one equal to him or better than him. And he is the supreme. Now we understand this position of the Lord. After that you understand, come to the Mahabharata. You understand how Krishna is Parameshwar. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutastun Vanti Divyaistavai Vedai Sangha Padakramo Panishadai Gayanti Yam Samagaha Yanavastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino Yasyantam Navidusura Suraganaha Deva Yatasmai Namaha. That Supreme Lord is glorified by Indra, Chandra, Maruta, Rudra, all the Devatas. He is also glorified by the personified Vedas and all the Shruti Mantras also. And all the great Rishis and Munis in the jungle are sitting and meditating in their huts on the Vasudev, the Lord Krishna in their hearts. Dhyana Vasita Tadgate Namanasa. And to that Supreme Lord, I offer my obeisances. Like that he is saying, Shukadeva Goswami. Now, although he is the master of Rudra, Indra, Maruta and all these personalities, still you find Krishna leaving that position of being Lakshmipati and becoming Parthasarathi. You see, Lakshmipati is in a position where everybody worships him, bows down to him. Whereas as Parthasarathi and Bhaktavatsal, he is rendering service to his devotee. So, without sufficiently strengthening our understanding and acceptance and realization and full surrender to the Supreme Lord, the glory of the Supreme Lord becoming servant of his devotee is not going to be very touching to our hearts. Take what is so great about it? How many times you have heard this, you may think, Lord becoming subordinate to his devotees. So, actually, great acharyas are stunned when they hear about Krishna becoming servant of his devotees because they know his glory. So, and what is the proof of knowing his glory? If somebody knows the glory of the Supreme Lord's position, then one will become oblivious to the world of matter. One will not be able to get distracted to anything other than his glory. Because his glories are so much, they can be filling up millions of pages of the Shastras. So, the great Acharyas, as they glorify, just like Vishnu Sahasranamam glorified by Bhishma Pitamaha. One word is elaborated in so much great depth about his form, his power, his position, his qualities, his characteristics, his pastimes, everything. So, this has to be first strengthened in the heart before one can go on to appreciate the Lord's sweetness. In the Western theology, if you see, religions like Christianity and Islam, they have emphasized a lot on fear principle, that one should do sacrifice to the Lord and one should never commit sin and one should never deviate from his laws. If they do so, they will be sent to hell for eternal damnation and all that. So, why there is so much fear principle instilled? Because the living entity by nature is very mischievous in this world. He has actually turned away from the Supreme Lord and due to his lower nature is going far, far away from him. So, in order to bring him back to the right platform, the living entity is instilled with fear. And the love aspect of the Lord comes much later. Fear is the first principle. Just like you all have been to school and college. In India, it's very common to see a teacher keeping a stick. Prabhupada says the teacher should keep the stick but not beat the children. Like you see, Johnson said, spare the rod and spoil the child. He said, what is the meaning of that? Spare the rod means if you don't show the stick, then the child will get spoiled. That's what he said. Which means, there has to be some fear, some discipline in a classroom Imagine you went to join engineering college and they told you, all of you study 4 years, nicely learn and become a good civil engineer or a mechanical engineer, computer engineer, and there'll be no tests or exams for you because we have full trust in you, you're all wonderful children. Study nicely and then join a company and do a job. How many people you think will study the books? How many of you here will study the books? Will anybody study? Is there any impetus for you to study? No. So there are tests kept every 2 months. Nowadays they have tests every month, I heard. Every month they have some surprise test, they say. Suddenly one day they give a test. So in this way, the Supreme Lord, through the agency of material nature, has kept many punishments for the living entity and the tests for the living entity. And there is also fear for the Lord created in all the religions, which is not an artificial thing, because for whom such fear is required? One who is not abiding by his laws. But if somebody lives according to the God's laws very naturally, and there is no question of deviating, for such people the Lord has his another future, which he reveals as a Shyam Sundar playing on his flute, surrounded by his cows and calves, you know, dancing with the gopis in rasa dance, giving shelter to his devotees under Govardhan hill, stealing butter from the houses of his devotees. So he has many wonderful pastimes to reveal. But unfortunately, in India, many people hear those leelas prematurely before giving their heart to this Supreme Lord. Because before, the path of bhakti, bhakti means bhakta. The word bhakta means who? The one who has lost his heart to the Supreme Lord. He is called bhakta. But before we lose our heart to his supremacy, how can we relish his sweetness? Prabhupada said, if one is not accustomed to serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he should not be eager to see the smiling face of the Supreme Lord. So he says, first one has to surrender to Krishna's supremacy. Then one can see the rasa dance, which represents Krishna's smiling face. So the sweet pastimes of the Lord are reserved for those who have surrendered to the Supreme Lord first. Then only they can truly relish. Although these pastimes are all commonly spoken in so many Bhagavad Kathas in India, people may sensually, emotionally clap hands and hear some leela and laugh and go away, continuing the sense gratification programs with no change or change in their life or no transformation of heart. Prabhupada did not want to create such a movement again. There are 100 other movements. He wanted to create a movement where people can understand the glory of Lord's supremacy. That's why Prabhupada said, don't make a picture of Krishna dancing in rasa dance, he said. Make a picture of Krishna controlling all the universes. So that is why you see the picture of Mahavishnu, sending out all the universes from his body. Prabhupada said, put this picture, let people see it. Let this picture be seen more by people. And Prabhupada emphasized on that one famous Vishnu Purana verse. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Kshetrajna Kya Tata Para Avidya Karma Sanjnaya Tritiya Shakti Rishyate. This verse talks about three Shaktis. Prabhupada said the Lord should never be worshipped alone without his Shaktis. So what are the three Shaktis? The Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti and Tatastha Shakti. Spiritual world, material world and the Jivas. Similarly, the Panchatattva we worship. This includes all the Shaktis of the Lord also. Like for example, the Shakti and Shaktiman together are worshipped as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Nityanand Prabhu is the Balaram, the Adi Guru. And Shivas Thakur is Srimad Radharani, who has removed her Mahabhav and given to Lord Krishna. So Srimad Radharani minus her Mahabhav is Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit is Shakti on one side. So you find the Guru Tattva is on one side and the Lord's own consort, Srimad Radharani, is on the other side, and the Lord combination of Radha and Krishna is the center. And you see Advaita Acharya, he is the Pancharatrika Vidhi he teaches, because he took the Tulasi and Gangajal and offered to the Lord, isn't it? So he teaches Pancharatrika Vidhi. And then Srivastava Thakur teaches Bhagavat Vidhi, who is on this side. And Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, all other devotees are also included in that. And Shiva Thakur is Jivatma, Mr. Jiva, whereas Advaita Acharya Prabhu is Mahavishnu. And there is Guru Tattva, there is Shakti Tattva, and then the Lord. So the Pancha Tattva includes everything. This is the complete absolute truth. The complete absolute truth includes Jivas also. It is not only Krishna. That is why when you say only Krishna, it is too exclusive. When you say this is also Krishna, that is too inclusive. That is why how Krishna should be described in the Pancha Tattva. That's why Prabhupada said we should chant this. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. From the Lord Supreme Shakti Shimitaradharani, we get service. So ascending service, descending mercy. From the Guru Tattva Balaramji, we get the bal. The strength we get. Because without the strength, one will not be able to lift the sword of knowledge. It's not possible. And from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, you get the Prem Shakti. Because he is carrying the Prem in his heart and he is very eager to share it with others also. He is himself experiencing and is overwhelmed by the bhav that he is carrying in the heart, and he is in an intoxicated state of prema, prem. And he is looking, is there anyone who wants this? I can share with you. So the best thing is to go and seek it from him. And then we also follow both Pancharatrikavidhi and Bhagavatavidhi. We worship the deities and we also study Bhagavatam and do Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. We do this Navvidha Bhakti. So Panchatattva encompasses the complete Shakti Shaktiman principle fully. So Prabhupada said in all proper temples, the Shakti and Shaktiman should be worshipped together. Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, Sita Ram, like that. So with proper understanding, they should be worshipped. And even Radha Krishna should be worshipped in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. So because we have to know the Lord's supremacy and develop a deep reverence, respect and appreciation for it, after which Lord himself will flood the heart of a devotee with his sweetness, which is the Lord's prerogative. It's not in our hands. Whenever the Lord wishes, he may flood the heart of the devotee with such sweetness, just like he did for Arjuna, driving his chariot, or with Yashoda, behaving with her like a child. In this way, in this particular verse, Madbhayat Pati Vatoyam, it's all about bhaya. All the demigods are saluting the Lord, like Brahma, Indra, Chandra, and Shiva, and all these great personalities. They are submitting to the Lord, they are obedient to the Lord, and they are surrendered to Him. So because we cannot surrender to, we cannot see the Lord, we cannot understand Him easily, so the Lord has given us many masters in this world. For children, He has given mother and father. For the disciples, He has given Guru. For the general Praja, He has given the King. So who become Naradev or Matradev or Pitradev or Gurudev, like this. So that first they can learn respect and obedience and humility in front of someone who represents the Lord. And then by doing so regularly, by such reverence and absolute obedience, then one will get to understand this principle of the Supreme Lord. How Lord is Asamardhva. If one discards the superiors, then the result of that is one cannot understand the Supreme Lord. And one's understanding of the sweetness of Vrindavan will be nice myth. It will be nice phantasmagoria. It will be like a hallucination that one gets sometimes. Vrindavan Leelas will be like hallucination only. One cannot. Why it's called hallucination? Because people cry tears, say that I have experienced the bhava of Vrindavan, and they rush to the opposite sex with the same speed. Afterwards. So which is the proof actually that they have not deeply internalized the Vrindavan Leela, you see. So, but if one surrenders to the Supreme Lord with this understanding properly, and then by the Acharya's mercy and Krishna's mercy, gradually the sweetness of the Lord will be revealed eventually over a period of time whenever we are qualified. Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.